This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. The Invisible Monster, written by Folufella, performed by Chris Herron. A flash of light rips through the dark laboratory and illuminates the faces of the five people who are watching intently. They stare, hypnotized, as one of them frantically types, jotting down notes on his computer. Soon, the light emerges a full glow, giving the lab an ethereal, fantastic glow. Only one thought runs through their minds at the moment. They have just done something no other human could ever imagine. The researchers have just opened a portal to another universe. I run forward and push down the lever on the left side of the circular device. It spins rapidly, and I shout across to my co-researcher, Lily. The rotations are ready. I just need you to release the Omega atoms. All right, Derek, a voice responds. Lily runs to the right side of the device, carefully treading in front of the caution line. I knew I should have made the device more spread out. She flips down the lever, which releases a meager amount of Omega atoms. Omega atoms are atoms that we theorize to be multiversal, meaning they exist in the same place in other universes. We recently discovered them and believe they have something to do with the creation of the universe, but that's a tale for another time. Soon, the atoms were spinning in perfect harmony, lining up like cows to a slaughterhouse. Kentucky, my other co-researcher, turns on the nuclear batteries, allowing the device to accelerate the atoms. The atoms move faster and faster around the circle, reaching 10% of light speed. I move to the controller room and release the barrier. The atoms hit the barrier, and soon enough, a small beam of light can be seen from the observation deck. It's working! It's working! Simon screams as he stands up, raising his arms wildly and causing the chair behind him to fall over. The beam increases, becoming a full circle and expanding into a gaseous form. From the control panel, I can see the image of a purplish desert. The machine is projecting newly made Omega atoms into another universe, following the frequency that we discovered. Soon, we can see the full image. A flash of light distracts me from the projection, and I am blinded for a moment before I realize that the machine is done. We just opened a doorway into another universe. Normally, I would dance with extreme joy, or sing, shout, but I am awed by the image I see. The other universe has crystals lined on the surface. Suddenly, I catch a glimpse of a transparent creature.
Stabilize the portal! I think I see something!
I cry, but it's too late. The feet shuffling have completely disappeared, and now I feel the presence of something in there with us. Lily flips both the levers down, shutting down the portal for good. Then a quiet, high-pitched humming is scattered throughout the lab.
Lily! Watch out!
I scream, but she can't hear me. She's fallen over, sprawled under something, and for a brief moment, I see the head of the creature, and I freeze up. Lily sees it too, and screams out, alerting Simon, Jack, and Kentucky. The head I saw disappeared into the darkness. We are given moments to escape as the humming continues, filling our heads with thoughts of fear, darkness, and death. I grab the nearest weapon, an atom splicer. Normally, if this were used against a human, they would disintegrate on the spot where they stand. I aim for where the monster was, barely hitting Lily. I know I hit something, but the creature merely shrugs it off and chases after me. I have moments left before it reaches me. I cannot see it, but I can feel vibrations rapidly increasing on the stairs leading to the control panel. The creature jumps on its legs. I jump from the top of the control panel, hitting the chairs below and feeling a sharp pain in my shoulder. I quickly pull down the fire alarm, warning everyone outside to escape. The vibrations from the stairs slow down, and I quickly help Lily to her feet.
Come on, we gotta leave,
I say painstakingly as I grab a chair, hoping it will help me at some point. Kentucky pushes the door open, and we all rush out. I leave last, locking the door behind me, hoping to buy us some time. Hoping. That is the only thing I can do. The bit of the creature I saw still strikes fear into my heart. I doubt I'll go to sleep today, if I even survive. We all make it to the exit and are barely holding on to our lives when a window breaks and we all know the creature has escaped. I run in the direction of home. The next day is a blur. I was the only one who went back. It takes all my courage to even go back, but I have to see the footage. When I get there, I head up to speak to Maurice, the security officer.
"Hey, Maurice," I ask, trying to keep my voice up. "What's up, dude?"
he responds jokingly.
Nothing much. Do you have the security footage from yesterday?" I ask. "Yeah, dude,"
he says as he looks over on the computer, not suspicious of my question.
"I need it for our project," I ask.
Maurice plugs a USB in and downloads the footage without scanning through it. No one seems to question yesterday's fire scare. They all just work like drones. The fire department was called, but nothing is suspicious. I walk back to the lab, reliving the horrors in my head again. I move to the computer and watch the footage over and over. It doesn't show the monster, but I can see everything that happened again. I can't fathom what to do, and I start researching this. Soon, I find a forum of people who claim to have seen mysterious creatures watching them, hunting them. These people are psychopaths, I think, as I scroll deeper and deeper into the mysteries that bind the forum together. As I scroll deep, a video link catches my eye. It seems to be from a popular news outlet and was recently posted. I click on the link, expecting a jump scare video or another website filled with lies. What I get is worse. News coverage in my area about a massacre in a nearby bank. The victims are sprawled everywhere, and I can see the reporter was trying not to puke. I would. Soon, articles pop up all over the forum of people saying that they knew what it was. Someone said that it was the Rapture. Another one says that it was an ancient god who was angry. I chuckle. If only these people knew that the creature was far more fact than fiction, they would be scared. After a long time of arguing with myself, I decided to try to find the creature. If not to help anyone, to at least keep me safe, even for a few more years. After scouring the recording multiple times, I conclude that the creature was releasing more thermal energy than any normal thing in our small town. I could track it by using its heat signature. I prepared my thermal camera setup and tracked it in the video. I was right. My next course of action was to call the team together. Night had advanced severely, and when I looked at the time, it read 1 a.m. I had been there for almost 12 hours. I rushed home, greeting the night shift workers on my way out. I went home and slept. I didn't get much sleep. My heart was beating too fast for my body to enjoy its slumber. I did the best I could. When my alarm clock rang, I woke up and grudgingly went down to shower. After showering and using the bathroom, I walked to the kitchen in my pajamas and made a cup of coffee. As I downed this, I thought about how it would probably be my only meal for that day. The news on the television was depressing and nothing new was on. I quickly packed my briefcase, carrying all my research from the former day. When I got to the lab, the others were there: Kentucky, Simon, Jack, and Lily. It seemed like they had come together yesterday and tried to reach me. I was too immersed to notice. I showed them my research.
"So, you're saying we could track this thing with its heat signature?"
Kentucky asked.
"Yeah, and that's probably our best bet," I replied.
No one seemed to question me. They were all suffering from shock. We all went out to the test site that belonged to the company and set up the equipment. I turned on a radar that I had fashioned while working yesterday. It sent out signals to track creatures with intense heat around us. Once I connected it to the satellite, it would send a signal throughout the entire city, tracking the abnormalities. After a few hours of waiting and waiting, the radar recognized the highest heat signature. It was unusually high, so we knew it must be the creature. The creature was located almost 2 blocks away from the bank. We drove there fast and were not surprised to find the signature had come from a locked van, somewhere between a jewelry and a convenience store. I walked in, ready to defend myself with a shockwave gun strong enough to release a frequency so high human ears would bleed. The scariest thing about walking in was not walking into a room with a dangerous, hungry predator. It was knowing it would recognize me. I was right. It recognized me. It was mad that it let one of its prey escape, and so it started chasing me. I hit the creature with a signature tracker, which now made it visible to the human eye. It was massive, almost 7 foot, and had huge horns that curled like a ram's. I could not pinpoint the location of his face, but the vision I saw before was enough. Now, with the colossal beast chasing me, I could run forward into the van. "Drive! Drive!" I screamed at the top of my lungs, looking behind me. The creature is only a few jumps away. Screams echo around us. As I jump in, Kentucky hits the gas and speeds towards the test site. We had rigged another particle accelerator to open the portal again, and we knew it was going to be the last time any of us would touch one again. The creature blindly follows, filled with rage and adrenaline. We barely reach the site before the creature is on top of the car, pulling the back off. I get out, and it is distracted, chasing me, and Kentucky tases it with a sound the same frequency and decibels as the fire alarm. She reverses the car and rams forward, hitting the creature with almost a ton of force and pushing it forward. It steps into the right spot. We've practiced this, and we know that it all has to come down to this. If we fail, we die. I run forward, luring the creature and pulling the trigger. As I scamper out, the accelerator starts up, and in about 5 minutes of the creature chasing me, it opens the portal. The creature knows its fate and jumps forward to grab me, barely missing. Adrenaline pumps through my body. Briefly, I feel pain. The creature tries to jump again, but is pulled into the other universal vortex. Simon smashes the control panel, sealing the doorway forever.
"We did it!"
I shout as they all watch me in awe. Lily runs up to me and points to my left arm. I try to raise it up, and a burning sensation passes through my body. My arm is gone. Folufella is a young, aspiring writer. The Invisible Monster is his debut story, part of his attempt to get his work out there as he focuses on improving his writing. One of the things I enjoy is working with younger writers. Occasionally, I get a story like this, and I see a lot of potential in the author. I just hope getting their stories published helps excite and encourage them to hold on to that creative spark as they get older. I've known far too many people that give up on their passions as time goes by. But I think if Folufella keeps at it, he can definitely go places with his writing. If you enjoyed this story, why not leave it a like if you're on YouTube or Facebook? Or if you're listening to the podcast, make sure to subscribe. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.